The Israel Report with Rolly Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolly Marks, how are you?
Howard.
What's up?
What's up? Well, I can't get my head quite around the toy song. I don't know.
I feel almost schizophrenic around it. You know, it's and I can tell you what makes it worse is looking into the control booth and I'm seeing Hilton doing a chicken dance. You know, I mean, no good comes out of that, Rolene. No good.
No good comes out of any kind of chicken dance.
Exactly.
And by chicken dance, we're not talking about
exactly,
the one that
exactly,
weddings.
Exactly. Nobody should be offended. It wasn't intended. So Bibi has narrowly escaped going to elections. Lucky for him, because I'm convinced he was going to lose.
Well, I tell you, it looks like feathers are being ruffled all over the place. And
Ouch, the
Prime Minister very, very, very narrowly escaped snap elections yesterday. Basically because the Likud party, his faction within the Knesset, said that they would not support the move if he decided to collapse his government and call for early elections. So but by that indication, he seemed to be feeling pretty confident. I don't think that he necessarily would have won a snap election. Should he have, it would have been by a very, very, very slim margin. I know that some of the listeners were chiming in yesterday saying, you know, that they think Bibi has been phenomenal, that his legacy is phenomenal, that he's an incredible leader. I have to just kind of explain to you from the Israeli perspective, we kind of have very much a love-hate relationship with the Prime Minister. We love him when he speaks at the United Nations and
awesome.
On the world
mm-hmm.
stage, but the relationship between Israelis and our Prime Minister, and in fact our government, is a very I mean, you use the term bittere Gelächter.
Absolutely.
It could be described very much like that. We are very, very hard on our leaders. We are very tough on our leaders. And that is our job to do that, is to, in a democracy, is to question when we think our leaders are not being effective or doing things the way that is expected of them. Now, we know that this near crisis happened because of coalition clashes within the with agreeing over the IDF enlistment bill. The majority of the country, in fact, 4 in 5 Israelis, according to a recent poll, believe that the ultra-Orthodox or the Haredim should be mandated to serve in the IDF the same as everybody else. However, where this does become an issue is within the ultra-religious, within the coalition, within the government. And they threaten that if this legislation would be pushed through, they would collapse the government. So a near mutiny was narrowly escaped yesterday by Bibi giving in to his party, who said that they absolutely would not support it, and some kind of compromise has to be made. And Howard, you are right. It was made very, very clear to Prime Minister Netanyahu that he would not be able to reach a majority. And while the other parties didn't want elections, it was only the Likud that could have stopped them from happening.
Absolutely amazing. And I am sure that Bibi is clear that he's lived to fight another day, because I can't see how he would have survived this another election. Somebody who didn't
he's
survive.
He's a Teflon king.
He is. It is true. It is true. And all he needs to do is mention his late brother, and he's back on track.
Well, sadly, and it's something that he is being criticized a lot for, a lot of Israelis feel that the constant mentioning of Yoni Netanyahu, the constant bringing up of the Shoah, almost cheapens their memory, and we want to see him use other metaphors or other situations when he does make speeches.
Absolutely fascinating. Look, he does use a lot of props, so let's give him credit where it's due.
Let's give him props, Howard.
Exactly. The new Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. What does this mean now for the relationship with the America's Iranian policy? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, at the outset, when Trump came into power, CIA Director Mark Pompeo, who is due to replace Rex Tillerson, who was fired yesterday, I just want to know, does Donald Trump invoke the "you're fired" from Celebrity Apprentice?
I was thinking just exactly that. Does he say "you're fired" and point at them in the same way? I don't think so. I think he's moved on from that.
Pity. Well, there goes that fantasy. Anyway, Pompeo is known to be much more hawkish on Iran and their nuclear program than Rex Tillerson was. In fact, he has been quite outspoken against the former President Barack Obama's nuclear accord and said that this nuclear deal will not stop Iran from getting a nuclear bomb. It places Israel at considerably more risk. Excuse me, and that he looks forward to rolling back the disastrous deal with the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism. So he's very much speaking the lexicon that we like right here in Israel, Howard. He understands the severity of the Iranian threat and what it poses to Israel. So I think that he will be better for Israel, because he will take a much more hardline approach, not just to Iran, but to the whole Middle East. Trump really hinted when he fired Tillerson yesterday that Tillerson was too much of a dove and we need a hawk. So it looks like he's calling in his big guns. And it really will be interesting to watch this one going forward. We do know that our European counterparts are a lot more soft. They have a lot more conciliatory stance towards Iran. They aren't very, very pro tearing up the deal or taking a more hardline approach. So let's see if America will be the ones to lead the charge.
Absolutely. Gimple the Fool says, I can't forgive Bibi for giving the Jordanians the antidote for the poison after Mossad nearly fixed Khalid Mashal.
Okay.
All right. And
Fair enough. I know better than to argue with Gimple.
The attempted assassination, speaking of which, on Palestinian Prime Minister blows apart the Hamas-Fatah unity. Tell us about this.
Well, you and I spoke about it yesterday, and I messaged you as soon as it happened. I said, this has just happened, and we actually spoke offline, and we said, this looks like an assassination attempt. And you know what really surprised me is that it didn't make major news headlines around the world.
Fascinating. I noticed the same thing. Unbelievable.
I thought this was really the big story of the day, and it barely registered a bleep. But what it has done is it has blown apart, quite literally and figuratively, any kind of unity deal or any kind of reconciliation between Hamas and Fatah. If you don't know what this is about, yesterday there was an explosion that targeted the Palestinian Authority's Prime Minister, Rami Hamdallah's convoy that was in the Gaza Strip, and this has just caused a war of words. The Palestinian Authority have accused Hamas, saying that Hamas had plotted to assassinate Mahmoud Abbas 10 years ago in a similar way. So therefore, it must be Hamas's grubby paws that are on this, and others are saying that it's too premature to assess the damage. Others saying that, you know, we don't know who has taken responsibility for that. But what we do know is a member of the Fatah Revolutionary Council in the West Bank has said it is a very, very serious crisis, and it is going to take some time to heal the wounds, and now it's up to the two sides to decide whether or not they want to escalate the situation or work towards calm. And, you know, very often, Howard, we discuss and debate a two-state solution, what could happen, and very often, in fact, more often than not, this internecine fighting between Hamas and Fatah is not taken into account by many who would like to see some kind of solution in the Middle East. You know, it's very easy to say two-state, or should we abandon two-state and have one state? But if we look at the internecine fighting between the two major factions within the Palestinian community, it looks like maybe three states. I don't know what your thoughts are.
What's interesting to me, or what I thought was fascinating, is that Israel wasn't blamed. Is that because it wasn't a successful assassination?
Ooh,
I'm going to apologize publicly for that at a later stage, or not.
Well, we'll know if we see the Mossad Twitter parody page tweeting about it, won't we?
Right, exactly. Look, they're not going to take responsibility for a failed assassination attempt, surely.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So very, very interesting indeed. Finally, Superman in Israel. Not a bird, not a plane.
Not a bird, not a plane, not a really bad Israeli driver. Yes, I do have a bit of an issue with the drivers on our roads, but it is the actor Dean Cain of Superman fame. He is in the Holy Land at the moment. He arrived yesterday. He's very, very excited. He says he has dreamt about coming to Israel for as long as he can remember. He said he's always wanted to be here. He loves history, and there are few places on earth that have as much historical value as Israel, and he's brought his teenage son. They took pictures of themselves in suits. Clearly, they haven't been in Israel long enough because they're wearing suits and ties and lovely pocket handkerchiefs or pocket kerchiefs, and they were posing outside the Tower of David Museum last night. So
wonderful.
So yes, we have more visitors, and also very exciting. And I didn't get a chance to tell you, but it looks like so much for Israeli isolation. It looks like Israel will be having direct flights from Israel to Scotland and to Norway in the near future.
Amazing. It's absolutely incredible how much activity goes on in that airport outside of Tel Aviv. Absolutely incredible.
For sure. And it looks like more and more avenues are opening up, and so much for Israeli isolation, Howard. And I know that we joked a couple of weeks ago, you, Howard, Sextine and I, about which retirement village they are dusting out rock stars. But it looks like we will be seeing Don McLean.
Really? Oh, I adore Don McLean. When's he coming? Maybe I'll be there. When's he going to be there?
He's coming later this year. We don't have an exact date.
Yeah, please keep me posted. I know it shows my age, but I really am Don McLean. Sasha's like rolling her eyes at me. You can't be. What did you just say, Sasha?
I don't know who that is.
Who are you?
Who are you?
The classics, Howard, never date. That's all I'm going to say.
You know what, Sasha? You Google the hell out of Don McLean, and then you come back to me. And then I'll be waiting for your public apology, which I will receive by 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. You will retract it.
Writing?
Nah, I'm never going to read it. Time is 5:53. That's Rolene Marks with the Israel Report.